Trumpet call. as the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom is foolish to men, he must have seemed out of his mind. For even his family said he was mad, and the priest said a demon's to blame. But God in the form of this angry young man could not have seemed perfectly sane. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool and we opened our eyes. When we in our weakness believed we were strong, he became helpless to show we were wrong. For a madman who died for a dream. And you'll have the faith his first followers had, and you'll feel the weight of the beam. So surrender the hunger to say you must know, and the courage to say I believe. For the power of paradox opens your eyes and blinds those who say they can see. Our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool and he opened our eyes. When we in our weakness believed we were strong, he became helpless to show we were wrong. So we follow God's own rule, for only the foolish can tell. Believe the unbelievable.
Rico! Oh, do this one. Here we go. We got the lick. Like this. Can you do this?
Thank you.
While you and all your little friends are running around, getting in the trouble never brings you down. You have been my happiness right from the start, the joy of my heart. Nella pizzerico, let you know that your mama loves you. Pizzerico, let you know that your daddy does too. Pizzerico, wherever you go, whatever you do. Pizzerico, your dreams will come true. All right, come on now. Pizzerico, let you know that your mama loves you. Pizzerico, let you know that your daddy does too. Now Pizzerico, your dreams will come true. Yeah, Pizzerico, let you know that your mama loves you. Pizzerico, let you know that your daddy does too. La Pizzerico, wherever you go, whatever you do. Pizzerico, your dreams will come true. Yeah, La Pizzerico, your dreams will come true. Yeah, La Pizzerico, your dreams will come true.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the fifth day of October 2022. For today's broadcast is Delegation of Authority. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, and again, that's pastordan.net. And we do call your attention to the Daily Mail page, where we keep updates on information about what's going on in the world. Also information on educational material, whether it's prepper information, information about weapons, health issues, etc. The homepage, of course, has information for anybody that feels led to help out with a donation, and we sure do appreciate the folks that do. And there is also a Contact Us page, where if you do not have my personal contact information, you can go there and get a hold of me. And remember, the will of Yahweh God will never take you where the grace of Yahweh God will not protect you. I want to give a little update before I give some of these quotes here. We just finished up a national militia meeting, which turned out to be pretty darn good. A lot of good information was exchanged, people stepping up to the plate, etc. And it fell right in line with our topic tonight, delegation of authority. My mom and dad used to have a saying back on the farm, many hands make light work. And I saw that come into practice quite often when it was our time to go out in the garden and weed the garden. As typical children, we didn't want to do that. We'd rather go play Cowboys and Indians or watch the early show or something like that. And Mom and Dad would remind us of that. Many hands make light work, so you children get out there and do your chores. And if you all chip in and do it, then guess what? It'll get done in a hurry. That's very true. Now, I want to repeat these quotes because they're very pertinent to what's going on today. And again, we'll explain that in just a minute. Richard Buckminster Fuller, I remember hearing this name when I was in school. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. Okay? Now, this is his opinion. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. That's what we're attempting to do. The old model is based on Judaism and the Talmud. It does not work. That is why there is no justice in the world. We're building a new model based on our Father's law. We, his sons and daughters, are the administrators of his law on this earth. As the scripture says, when the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. The problem in America, first of all, there aren't too many people that are truly righteous anymore. And those that are busy going to church or playing church, and they're not out in the streets where our Father expects us to be. The modern-day church world, of course, is being run by a bunch of hypocrites pontificating behind pulpits, but they're spewing out the doctrines of devils. They're not telling the truth about Scripture. And we're going to read some scripture here to prove it in just a minute. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, if a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap than his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods, meaning way outside of town, the world will make a beaten path to his door. And we've said that for many times. You stand up as individuals. You are a living Bible to the world around you. As you take a stand for righteous items and righteous behavior and just verdicts, as you take a stand for that, you become a beacon of light to a dark, dark world. You don't have to go out and evangelize. You don't have to go out and seek out people. They will come to you. The right ones will. This whole church nonsensical thing that it's my job to save the world, where does it say that in Scripture? Where? Where does it say that? When did Christ go up to non-believers and scoffers and grab them by the shoulder and shake them and say, you must repent. You must listen to me. He didn't. He just said, I come here and I present the truth of our Father above and his laws and the laws of nature. I'm just telling you the way it is. You can take it or leave it. As my naturopathic doctor tells me all the time, I'm laying a gift on the table, my diagnosis or my recommendations. That's my gift. What you do with it is up to you. I'm leaving. There's the gift on the table. What are you going to do with it? The same thing with our scriptures and the teachings of Yahshua when he walked this earth. Revelation 18:4, and another voice from heaven came to my ears saying, come out of her, my people, so that you may not have part in her sins and in her punishments. That's talking about this Babylonian system that we find ourselves surrounded by, this cesspool. That's exactly what Revelation 18 verse 4 is talking about. Come out of her, meaning Babylon. Mystery Babylon. Remember, the word Babylon is from the Greek language, but that Greek word is based on a Hebrew word, Babel or Babel, as in the Tower of Babel. Okay? Babel in the Hebrew tongue meant confusion. But not just any confusion. Confusion caused by admixture. What is admixture? Admixture is the bringing together of things that do not belong together, such as man's law and God's law. They don't belong together. God's law must supersede man's law at all times. In fact, that is pointed out by the Apostle Peter in the Scriptures, where he said, if there is a choice between man's law and God's law, you must choose God's law. And even the jurist that used to be taught the most in our law schools, William Blackstone, in his commentaries, he made it very, very clear, unequivocally, God's law must be upheld by man's law. If man's law does not uphold the righteous laws of our Creator, they are of no effect. It's as if they were never written. You see, man was never given the right to make new law. Never. You can go to Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22, and you will see that he is our lawgiver. In fact, he's also our judge, jury, and executioner. He's everything. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, on whom my name is named, or some translations have, whom use or call upon my name, will make themselves humble or low, and come to me in prayer, searching for me, some scriptures say, seeking my face, which is a way of saying that, and turning from their wicked ways, then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their transgressions or sins, and will give life again to their land. Wouldn't that be nice to see life return instead of the barren soil, the polluted waters, the polluted skies, the GMO foods, and all of the other diabolical things that these corporations and monsters do? I was sent a reply today on Telegram to something I had posted, and this gentleman made a very astute opinion that he wrote back in response to that. It is backed up by several people I know with law degrees. But he said here, any act which dishonors your oath of office, so we're talking about police officers, military, government officials, health officials, etc. Any act which dishonors your oath of office immediately and irrevocably vacates that office and destroys your immunity from prosecution. That's why during our meeting we stressed tonight very much that we need to form our common law courts, and we need people to step up at every level in our precincts, at the local level, at the precinct level, at the county level, the state level. People to step up and say that they are willing to participate in the common law courts, because we need qualified jurors. And that can be explained by the gentlemen that have taken the lead in the establishment of these courts, the training, etc., to answer those questions. If you are interested in that, then you would reach out through the website righteousarmy.org and contact the national coordinator, Mike, and let him know that you wish to get a hold of the guys that are in charge of setting up the common law courts across this land. You see, you cannot take action to fix this problem, military action, until you get your courts established. Because you have to have righteous men who are jurors, hear a matter, and pronounce a biblical righteous judgment against the evildoers. Once a body of righteous men have done that, now you have done due process, both through the Bible and the common law. That's due process, that a person has now been judged guilty of a crime. Once that is done, if the local magistrates or the local law enforcement do not enforce the verdict, then it becomes our job as men and women of the county, free men upon the land, to enforce that law. That is God's law. That is natural law. And the enemy, of course, does not want us to do that because it circumvents their corrupt, controlled system that they've established, this Babylonian, Talmudic, Judaic system that is built of evil and wicked Talmudic rules, which, of course, is to the advantage of the Jew. That's why they want everybody to believe that's the way this system is set up and that it is righteous, but it is not righteous. It is antichrist. And so it is time for it to come down. I picked a few of the verses out tonight to show that biblical law is the law of the land. Our ancestors believed that. Makes perfect sense, and wouldn't this be a better world if we just simply followed the biblical precepts? I don't know about you folks, but I sure as hell think so. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, we hear, "You shall not commit murder." That's funny, because King James says, "Thou shalt not kill." And a few other versions have that, but this is the English Standard Version. And if you go to the Greek language in Exodus chapter 20, you will see that indeed the Greek words are talking about murder, not killing. You see, if you take a criminal, such as these corrupt politicians or these corrupt police or military people, if you take them to a neighborhood gallows and hang them for their crimes, that's not murder. Murder is the taking of innocent blood, such as abortion, such as the invaders to our lands when they mug, rape, and murder innocent people, okay? Innocence is judged by our Father in heaven, not by man's law. So a police officer or military person or a government official might say, "Well, I was told I have to do this, and I have immunity because I followed orders." Well, guess what? You took orders from somebody who's under the jurisdiction of our Father above. He had no right to tell you to do that, and you had no right to go do it. You're going to be held accountable. So when a person like that is executed, that's not murder. That is taking the life of a guilty person because they committed a capital offense. Maybe it's rape, kidnapping, child abuse, treason, murder. Those are all capital offenses, according to God's law. If we just enforce that one rule, this world would be cleaner within days because most of these murderers and rapists and people that have committed these atrocious crimes, they'd be dead. So there'd be no crowded prisons, no burden to the taxpayers, no chance of them getting out early because of some corrupt judge and turned back on us to commit crime again. So instantly, the world would be a better place. Just enforcing the capital crime laws. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at 16. All scripture is breathed out by Yahweh God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. This is a critical point for the men of the militia. Because if you're not righteous, you don't have any right to go out and enforce anything. You're no different than this de facto scum that walks the earth. You have to lead by example. You have to set that example and be a leader amongst the community. It's a shame because most of our young men don't have leaders today, so there's very few real men walking around nowadays. It's pitiful, actually. In Romans 13, we'll just talk about verse 4, but the whole Romans 13 is talking about obedience to authority and godly government. Okay? Now, the modern-day church completely gets this out of context, saying, well, you have to obey the authorities. They're just like the Baal priests of the Old Testament. That's what the Baal priest's job was, to keep the people in line with whoever was in charge, whether it was a tyrant or a good guy or whatever. But it was their job to keep the people thinking that the local potentate or the local monarch was the end-all of law and order. And they had no right to challenge anything or take the law into their own hands. That was the job of the Baal priest. Well, your modern-day church leaders in all of these mainstream so-called Christian churches, that's the job of the preacher, priest, or pastor. He's performing the duties of a Baal priest, telling you that you must obey. It says here, talking about the public servant here, for he is God's servant for your good. Do you guys feel like your servants are doing good? But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of Yahweh God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Now, do you think for 1 minute this is talking about people that violate God's law or people who violate man's law? Now, the powers that should not be want you to believe that they're talking about their law. Their law is based in Talmudic poison. Yahweh's law is based on truth and honesty and justice. This verse is not talking about what we have in man-made government today. It's talking about what we're creating, the common law courts of free men and free women, moral men and women, dedicated to live their lives for in service to our Father Yahweh above. That's who gets to make decisions, not these corrupt pieces of shit that walk around out here today and put people in prison and do ungodly things to them, all in the name of the law. Well, they've got so many laws on the books now, there isn't a single person that can't be called a, quote, criminal. But that's done on purpose. And that's why the only solution to what has been done to this world is for the righteous to stand up and take back control. And it starts by forming our courts that will adjudicate matters for the people and bring about righteous verdicts, righteous decisions. Luke 22, verse 36, Yahshua said to them, but now let the one who has a money bag or purse take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. Now, does that sound like pacifism? Again, that's the book of Luke in the, quote, New Testament. We also know that just before that, in Luke 19, verse 27, is where, again, the words of Christ himself, he said, bring those who would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. It doesn't say, bring them before me and try to get them convinced that I'm the best thing for them. It doesn't say, well, can't we just compromise? Maybe, you know, put a fine on it. No. What did Christ say? Bring them before me and slay them. Why? Because they are antichrist. They are anti-nature. They are anti-justice. They are anti wholesomeness, goodness, health, prosperity, cleanliness. They are the direct opposite. That's why Yahweh said, if they will not submit to my law, they are my enemy. Bring them before me and slay them. Again, the book of Luke in the New Testament. Again, in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, and he answered, Yahshua again, you shall love the Lord your God, Yahweh, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all of your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two basic laws that even a child should be able to figure out. And we can't even get this one right. You got to love your creator, your father, the one who gave you life, with everything that you are, heart, soul, strength, and mind, but also respect your neighbor as you would have him respect you. Do unto him as you would have him do unto you. We can't even get that one right. We've got people walking all over other people. Narcissists, self-centered, arrogant. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. Give me, give me, give me, give me. We can't even get one verse right. In Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This word meek could also be humble. We don't see a whole lot of humility in our people anymore. You ever notice that? They're always self-aggrandizing. I've noticed that over and over and over. How many people can't say enough good about themselves? We used to call it, when I was a boy, bragging. You're a braggart. We got a lot of people. I was always told by my parents and my elders that you don't need to tell people how great you are. Because if you truly are good at what you do, somebody will do it for you. When you have to tell everybody what a great job you're doing or how good you are, you're probably not doing it. And I always respected them for telling me that. Let somebody else praise you. You just keep doing the right thing. My dad told me when I was a boy one time, he said, don't ever worry when you get older and you go out there into the workforce, don't ever worry about how much money you're getting paid. I said, really? He said, no, you just do your job. You keep your nose clean and you do your work to the best of your ability. The rest will take care of itself. The first place I saw that happen was in the high school when I was on the football team and on the baseball team. When the coach put me in the starting lineup and told me that you're my first stringer. Okay, I didn't go up to him and say, hey, I need to be put on the first string team, the varsity team. No, the coach said that. Or when my son played football at the same high school and the coach went up to him and he said, I remember your dad when he was playing for me. He said, you know what I liked about your dad? When I told him to do something, he did it. He didn't argue. He didn't try to get away with something by sloughing off and thinking I wasn't watching. When I told him to work harder or to go to a new position or try something different, he always did it. He always did it. That doesn't sound like much. But I'm going to tell you something. No amount of money on this earth can replace a compliment like that. because it's real. It's from the heart. We got a lot of superficial people today. Some people call them cardboard people. They look like people, but they got no heart, no soul. There's nothing inside. It's just a bag of bones walking around. And look at the world we have because of that. There's no genuineness to most people. They're all players trying to get ahead, trying to get something from you for nothing. The meek, the humble shall inherit the earth. Amen. We're getting close to that time. It's almost time for the Jubilee. So if you're on the side with the goats, shame on you. Life's going to get really tough very soon. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I, Yahweh, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob," who was later named what? Israel. Israel is a people, not a country. Another misconception we have today. So, for I, Yahweh, do not change. Therefore you, children of Jacob, are not consumed. Whoa, what does that mean? That means he keeps his promises, especially those he made to our great ancestor, Jacob, when we became the sons of Israel, Jacob Israel, the 12 tribes. And the reason we're not consumed is because of the covenants and promises he made to our great ancestor and our great, great ancestor, his wife. Or I should say his wives. He had four. Okay? You're not consumed because of those promises. Because, truthfully, you and I, we need to be consumed. Look at the shape of this world. You can't see that? We don't deserve much of anything. I'm shocked that he hasn't wiped us out, to be honest. I look around at the sickening crap that's going on in this world. Why in the world didn't he pull the plug on us a long time ago, but especially now? We don't deserve his mercy. We don't deserve his bounty. We can't do anything right. We can't even protect our children. We can't protect our children in the womb. We allow the women to walk around with this, "Well, I have a right to kill my baby." Really? Really? Oh, that's precious. You have a right to kill your baby. Yeah. Well, maybe your mom should have got rid of you, the people that think that way. Maybe it would be a better world. Psalm 46, verse 1. Yahweh is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Yep, you better hope he is, because we're in trouble. Big, big trouble. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, is the same yesterday and today and forever. Wonder why he would say that. Okay, if he was born of a woman, just came into existence and was only here 30-some years, 33 years in his ministry, but why would Christ say, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever"? Because he was the Father in a flesh body. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. To know the truth and not do it, to know righteousness and not do it, makes you worse than those that don't even acknowledge Yahweh's law. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Faith without works is dead. That's the one you just don't seem to get. Faith without works is dead. John 14, verse 26. But the helper, or some translations say counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's kind of funny. John 14:26. I wonder why he didn't say, Father will send you a Bible. Father will send you many scriptures. That's not what he said. Father will send you John Hagee and Kenneth Copeland and all the rest of these televangelist whores. He didn't say that either. He said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit to help and counsel you. And he will teach you all things. We seem to have forgotten that, haven't we? Well, I don't agree with your translation, Dan. You don't have to. The Holy Spirit should be talking to you, son. To be quite honest, what if there were no Bibles? In fact, to be quite honest, Bibles haven't been around all that long. When you look at the time from when Yahshua walked the earth till today, Bibles have only been in our hands for a relatively short period of time. So, why do we have this idea that, like these Jimmy Swaggerts and these other charlatans and quacks, this is the word of Almighty God? Really, Jimmy? The King James Version is Yahweh's word when it's full of thousands of mistranslations? That's because the church world, particularly the Roman Catholic one, want to control people. Organized religion is all about control. It's no different than organized government and organized banking. All of them are very similar to communism, which centralizes control in the hands of a few. That's what it's all about. When our father didn't condone any of that. He wanted separation of powers and governance and power at the local level, which is, by the way, what the common law courts teach. Local government, local control. Keep the state people in Tallahassee. Keep the feds in Washington, D.C., and keep them the hell out of your life. They have no business telling us anything, to be quite frank. Most of them are corrupt assholes anyway. So, get right with the Father and listen to His Holy Spirit speaking to you. By the way, for health-conscious people, that third eye you have that sits right between your eyeballs, right there behind the frontal part of your skull, there's a little gland called the pineal gland in there. It's called the third eye because it's made up of rods and cones just like your eyeballs. And it sits right there at the front of your brain. And it is the antenna to the spiritual world. Do you think that might be why they want to pollute your body with all this junk and chemicals and dyes and sugars and bad fats? Do you think? So that your pineal gland starts to calcify, which means get dirty. You know, I was a electronics technician in the Air Force. I worked on jamming radar units. And our transmitters had big antennas off the bottom of the B-52 bomber. And we were the guys that when the enemy had radar pointed at our bombers and they were getting ready to shoot them out of the sky, the EWO officer, which is the electronic warfare officer, the EWO, he would flip on our transmitters and jam their signals so their rockets didn't have any idea where they were and how high they were or any of that. So I'm kind of familiar with how radio waves go through the air and how important antenna. Antenna for transmission and antenna to receive, how important they are, how they function, and how important it is that they be clean. As soon as you start getting a layer of dirt or corrosion on the surface of your antenna, your efficiency starts going down drastically in some cases. In fact, if it gets dirty enough, you can actually burn up your transmitter. So if you're not receiving our Father's signals very clear, maybe you need to clean up your life a little bit. You think? Maybe eat a little better? Maybe start behaving a little better? Start putting some of your faith into action? You think? Maybe? Start drinking some pure, clean water every day? I know people that don't drink a drop of water. Can you imagine that? Don't drink one drop of pure, clean water. Every day it's coffee, juice, mixed drinks, soda pop, teas. Folks, that's not pure water. I've had people tell me, well, Dan, I get plenty of fluids. That's not what it's about, dude. You can make your iced tea and your coffee and your orange juice with pure water, but that's not plain water. Your body needs, in my case, I need nearly a gallon because of my size. I need a gallon of just pure water. It doesn't count. Your coffees and drinks and soda pop, they don't count towards that amount. That's how much pure water your body needs to process everything and to take all the contaminants out of your body. So if you're not drinking the pure water, I'm going to guarantee you, you are contaminated. And you're probably constipated. That's a whole other topic. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Sort of fits with Yahshua being Yahweh in a flesh body, doesn't it? If you love me. How many people love Messiah? Oh, I love Jesus, Dan. Well, what are you doing married to that black guy then? Well, what do you mean? He's spiritual. Well, he can be as spiritual as he wants. He's still black and you're white. What the hell are you doing? Well, God loves everybody, Dan. Really? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Seems to me one of the commandments in Exodus is, thou shalt not commit adultery, which is from the Latin word to adulterate, meaning to make impure by adding an impurity. If I have a gallon of white paint and I add a cup of black paint to it, you have made it impure. You have adulterated it. In the Greek Septuagint, the commandment is oukmoukesous. And in the Greek language, it's even more plain than your English. Ouk is the Greek way to say, don't do it. Ouk, don't do it. Just like our word not or no. Oukmoukesous. Moukesous is mongrelization, hybridization. So not only are you not supposed to race mix, but you should not even be creating mixed cats, dogs, fruit trees, tomato plants. He made them the way they're supposed to be. You weren't given the right to hybridize your cattle, your horses, your dogs, your pets, your animals, your orchards, or your vegetables. No. You weren't given that right. You wonder why things aren't working. Geez, Dan, why aren't they working? Yeah, really. Why aren't they working? Good point. So you get the drift. Yahweh's law. And again, this fits hand in glove with what we discussed tonight as far as delegation of authority, many hands making light work, all of us chipping in together to fix this sick, sad world we live in. If you're not willing to do that, then you are not willing to put your faith into action. And you're going to pay a price for that. I'm just here to tell you, okay? It doesn't matter to me. You're not going to change my life one way or the other. But I'm just here to tell you, there is a day of reckoning coming very soon. And you're going to wish with all of your heart that you took a deep, hard look at yourself and decide you need to make a change. You need to get right with your Father above. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. None of us are perfect. I can guarantee you that. Not a single one of us is perfect. It just means that you recognize who you are. You recognize the hierarchy. You recognize that He is the ultimate authority in your life. And I can't figure out for the life of me why anybody in this sick world today would not want a friend like our Father in heaven. Why would you not want Him on your side? Why would you want to face all this turmoil, all this grief on your own? Somebody explain that to me. Because it doesn't make any sense to me. Is it because you really don't believe? You can actually take a look at this world and all of the complex features of it, including our own bodies, these machines that are just miraculous from the cellular level on up. You actually don't believe there is a creator? Whew. Sucks to be you. It's go time, folks. Figure out where you're going to be. What side of that fence that Yeshua talked about? Are you going to be over there with the goats and suffer with them? Or are you going to come over here with us sheep? Oh, I know. The world thinks we're just nothing. We don't amount to anything. We don't have the trillions of electronic shekels like they have. And we don't have all the law enforcement and military people eating out of our hands and begging us for electronic shekels. That's true. We don't. We don't have any great big navies or armies. We don't have great big fancy homes and cathedrals and big mega churches. We don't have television, FaceTime. You're right. You control all of that. That's true. And yet we still win. Isn't that amazing? That just really has you pissed off, doesn't it? You can't shut us up. You can't destroy us. And your days are numbered. And you just can't understand why. You've done so much work to steal and to bribe and to assassinate and to murder and to imprison. And yet, you still lose. I can imagine if I were in your shoes, I'd be a little upset too, but I'm not. I chose a different path. Because I knew one day this was going to happen. And when that day came, I want to hear, come forward and enter in my good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear anything from these prostitutes and whores that walk around out here. I don't want anybody calling me anything good. I don't really care. The only person that matters in that regard is my Heavenly Father. That's it. I want to hear Him say that. That's why even when nobody's watching, I know He is. I know He's judging me and watching me at all times, just like He is you. A lot to think about. The good news is there are good things happening because good people are making good things happen. And that number of people is growing by the day. That's what's got the New World Order crowd, the cabal, these antisocial sociopaths and psychotic morons out here, all in a tither. Their time is running out, and there's not a damn thing they can do to stop it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. With that, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank You for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank You for the wonderful meeting we had earlier. We just pray that You would bless the hearts of those who are returning to You. Bless the hearts of those who wish to fight this evil, wicked system. Watch over them. Give them strength and courage and good discernment. Help them figure out who's to be trusted in this sick world. And we ask a hedge of protection be put around all of these workers of righteousness, Father. They are Your sons and daughters. Pull them under Your wings of salvation and protection. as this sick world is burnt to the ground. We know we're not perfect, so again we ask on a daily basis that you would forgive us for our stumblings and fallings, wash us anew in the blood of the Lamb, that it might cleanse us of our sin and our faults, foibles, where we come short. But if you'll be with us and guide us and walk with us into this battle, then we will go forth and do your will upon this earth. And we will be victorious in your name. To that end, again, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah.
America, America, is it too late to save you? Will foreign troops invade your soil? Will government enslave you? Will the greatness that was once your crown be trampled in the streets? Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lessons to be learned. America, America, once God's word was your standard, how gradually you've compromised. How far you finally wandered, for the years of silent apathy. To God we now repent, for the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think time now to remember your great past. America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. This land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise, for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won. Yes, the victory is sure. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. See the lesson to be learned. Just open up. your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Oh, yeah. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson.
Have told him long ago that the long-awaited one would make men stumble, but they were looking for a king to conquer and to kill. Who'd have ever thought he'd be so meek and humble? He will be the truth that will offend them one at all, a stone that makes men stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Many will be broken
I was 16, my dad let me start in the mines. You didn't have no machinery to do the work for you. You done it by hand. At a big wage at $5.75 a day, 8 hours. They didn't buy you no lamps, no carbides. They was going to pay you for working, and they'll put you down in there. But as far as a shovel, if you need a shovel, you go buy your shovel. See? If you wanted to scratch it out with your fingernails, well, it was up to you. You could do that.
your mules gathered it, and a string team, they called it, of two or three mules hooked together in a straight line, pulled it to the bottom.
They took a young mule and trained him and put lines on him, and if you wanted a mule to go to the right, you jerk the line and holler G. If you wanted him to go to the left, you jerk the line and holler haw, and you didn't have to do that just a few times. That mule knew what you meant. I've drove mules that I didn't even have a line on. All you had to do is talk to him. He knows G and haw better than the driver did.
You walk into one of those rooms, you'd feel like you're in a cathedral. Huge, deep, and there's lots of that coal still out there.
Come listen, young fellers, so young and so fine, and seek not your fortune in the dark, dreary mind. It'll form as a habit and seep in your soul, till the stream of your blood runs as black as the coal. Where it's dark as a dungeon, damp as a dew, where the danger is double and the pleasures are few, where the rain never falls and the sun never shines, where it's dark as a dungeon without any. There's many a man I've known in my day who lived just to labor his whole life away, like a fiend with his dope and a drunkard his wine. A man can have lust for the lure of the mind. Where it's dark as a dungeon, damp as the dew, where the danger is double and the pleasures are few, where the rain never falls and the sun never shines, where it's dark as a dungeon, way down in the mine. Shall roll, my body will blacken and turn into coal. Then I'll look from the door of my heavenly home and pity the miner who digging my bones. Where it's dark as a dungeon, damp as the dew, where the danger is double and the pleasures are few, and the sun never shines, where it's dark as a dungeon, way down in.